I don't know how that fee schedule would be set up, but I don't think we have, we certainly should do the planned commercial development. We know that's coming down the pike. We know it's going to be a complicated review, and it probably should be similar to the conditional use in that you're paying.
That's where I put that in, the large wholesale business and large retail businesses. It's going to be $600 plus the current rate per hour. So if it takes some extra time on it, he's getting the current wage per hour.
I think what you're saying, Rachel, is to add data centers and planned community developments to that.
Data centers are there. They're written there, right? He has truck stops and terminals, warehouses, data centers, large wholesale businesses, large retail businesses. First of all, what's large? And second of all, that doesn't cover restaurants, office spaces in a planned commercial development unit, right? So if you're the developer of the planned commercial development unit, you're going to come in and you're going to say, there's no fee on the schedule for me. I only have to pay the conditional use fee unless I'm doing whatever.
They're going to be paying a fee for each business that goes in there.
Well, according to this, if it was a truck stop, a warehouse, a data center, a large wholesale, a retail, a bed and breakfast, a undertaking establishment, it has a fee on the schedule. The other ones don't have fees on the schedule, a housekeeping cottage, hotel, motel, right? But a restaurant, a drive-through restaurant, those are not listed on their offices. I think you had specialty shops are listed on there because they're principal permitted. But the planned commercial
personal service businesses would be a restaurant.
Well, restaurants have their own definition in our ordinance, so I don't know that would be clear. And I think the planned commercial development unit part is going to be, that is going to be extra complicated to undertake.
Well, that's, never mind.
I'd be fine with going forward with this right now, but I think we might want to supplement it with the other. And if it's going to be a whole ordinance adoption, it might make sense to do it all at once. And we know we're going to get a planned commercial development application, and it's going to be complicated to review. I just thought it might make sense to look at that now. You've got hotels, you've got retailers, but we knew restaurants, for example, were part of the discussion for that, and it probably should be the whole complex is one, and then in that case they're not doing it as a subdivision. So normally the subdivisions have a per lot. In this case, they don't plan to subdivide it, so they're going to look at it as it's one unit and want to pay only the conditional use fee. But I mean, Joni, if you...
No, the PCDs, I follow you completely in the mobile home part. But if the thing is, if you're going to do that, then you better go down the whole list of DD uses and have an application fee for it.
Or charge per square foot, mm-hmm. or per building, or per.
Yeah, because that's what you're gonna have to do. Because you can't say, okay, I'm gonna a hotel or a motel is gonna be $400, but we're gonna charge the housekeeping cottage $50 for each unit.
It used to be, I think that was on there like that because those were principal permitted.
Right.
And so that was the fee they were paying. Right. And the conditional uses were paying just the conditional use fee. Right. But now we've got some conditional uses on here with, that's why I asked the question.
No, what's the intent to do both? But the condition, that's why I put in that fee is just for based on one hearing.
Right.
Any additional hearings, which something like that's going to take a lot more than one hearing. That's why I put it that way. Because last time you were saying it was too many things on there, cut some stuff out, and I did.
Well, when we're duplicating a residential unit in the RD district and a residential unit again in the LG district and a residential unit again in the DD district, it starts to get confusing to figure out what fee applies.
No,
right?
There's also a lot of meeting fees that were in there that were unnecessary and stuff. So I cut it way back. But I thought I wrote it so it covered that stuff. I mean, in my head, it does.
And again, I just want it to be clear. If it's not clear to me, it's probably not clear to Joe Schmo off the street or to a developer.
But they deal with zoning all the time, so it should be.
I think that the other thing, too, should be, the only thing that we should be shooting for is to make sure that at the time a conditional use application comes in, that we establish an escrow. And that the escrow agreement be done immediately.
Well, he can't do that until he says it's a conditional use.
Right.
So as soon as he says it's a conditional use, and the conditional use application's filed, that's...
Right.
How do I have it to that?
So and you're the good. Signs, there's on-site meetings.
Yeah.
So if he attends a meeting, he gets the current rate plus $25, right?
Right. He gets his hourly rate plus $25 for an on-site meeting. Sometimes you got to go out to look at what they want to do.
On-site meeting, you mean here or?
No, on-site.
At the site.
At the site location, where they're going to put the sign.
At the location of the sign.
Oh.
Where it's going. Would we be better served by, instead of listing fees for conditional use review, simply saying that all conditional uses will be reviewed by the zoning officer and he'll be paid an hourly rate and it'll be reimbursed by the applicant? In addition, there'll be an escrow established for other review fees and professional fees. So this way you kind of categorize all the conditional uses all in one.
Right.
Instead of trying to list each one.
And that's why I was asking about the data centers, because they're conditional uses. Mm-hmm. The warehouses are conditional uses.
Truck stops.
Right. So I was confused by them popping up on here, and then the conditional uses, were we charging both?
Yeah, well, that's for him to review everything that they're going to be doing, because it's going to take a long time to review it. It's not a quick review.
So,
should we have a flat fee for conditional use review?
Well, that's where he's getting the $600.
Okay, but you have hotels at $4.
Right.
They're not as businesses at $6.
They weren't as much. He felt they weren't as much work. I didn't do this by myself. I went over it with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said $400 is good for, you know, a lodging place, because you just look in to see how many units there are and that everything's the right size. Warehouses, large businesses, data centers, there's more to it. He's got to look at a lot more stuff. So that's why he was getting... He's getting the $600 just to get everything ready for the conditional use. And then the conditional use, we had the price.
The only thing is that on the page before, we say that zoning fees include 3 inspections. We want to take that out? You don't want to include 3 inspections for $600.
No.
You know what I mean? On the ones that are good.
So you would effectively suggest that that's going to be...
And why would you want to take that out, just out of curiosity? You just don't want...
Wasn't it because it's going to be doing zoning inspections on site?
Right.
All inclusive of that $600 fee?
Correct.
That's enough?
That was his call.
I don't know if that's enough.
Well, anything above that, he gets paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
That only includes 3 inspections. Anything further, he's getting an hourly wage.
Okay.
That would be from him going from here to there and back here again.
Okay.
So there's no current wage for forestry enterprise, right? The forestry enterprise, there's no current wage.
Yeah, that's on the list. towards the front of the zoning section, it says $150.
But there's no plus current wage. Like a conservation subdivision has current wage.
Yeah, because generally forestry is going to be tree removal. Nobody will.
It's going to be like milling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No impact on home-based business. There's no current wage.
Yeah, he's not going to be going out there and watching what they're doing. They're the professionals, the property owners, got them marked out where they want them to take it down. That's just really a permit.
Thank you.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
So then where would you put restaurants and drive-through restaurants on your list of the zoning officer's fees as far as the rate? Because you've got them grouped by how much work you think they or he and you thought that they would require.
Right.
Would they require as much as a hotel motel or as much as the wholesale, large wholesale? And how do we define large wholesale or large retail? I don't think that's in the ordinance that way. As far as the definition that divides them?
Yeah, I think I copied that from the old one.
I think that's the way it was written previously.
I think so.
That would surprise me because I'm sure that there are conditional uses on the old one.
There was no plus on the conditional uses on the old one. That's why I put that in there.
Right.
That it's only that's for one meeting, and if it's going to take more meetings, then we got to. How did I put it? We'll assess what we think it's going to be. Plus, they're responsible for all fees based on the current rates for any professionals required.
Right.
So the zoning officer is going to let me know whenever there is any on-site meetings for issuing a signed permit, right? And I have to add that $25?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be better if you said warehouses and wholesale businesses the way it's written in DD instead of large and...
How did we have it in DD?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have anything if they're small. Mm-hmm. So maybe you just take large out.
Yeah, just take large out.
Yeah.
But you're leaving out other uses except that it says any permit fees not listed... $100. So if it would be on this list, if it's a gas station, a restaurant, or a drive-through restaurant, the zoning officer's review would generate $100.
Or a health facility or...
Or a hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be $100.
That's what I'm saying. I think anytime you have a conditional use, you should have a set fee plus...
Well, he's saying this would be on top of. So the conditional use hearing fee
would be
the $900 plus the professional's rates per day of hearing.
Right.
Plus, they would have to pay, if they're one of these uses, they would also have to pay at least $100 up
to
$600, depending on what kind of use they are.
And that's the way our zoning ordinance reads, that all applications are zoning applications go to the zoning officer. He's the one who determines if it's a conditional use
Correct.
Or not. So that's his part of it. And then from there, if it's determined to be a conditional use, then they pay for the conditional use. I'm not giving his time away for free either.
And nor should we, because that's how the taxpayers recover it.
Right.
You know, we need the taxpayers to recover the
yep.
cost of these reviews, but that's why I'm suggesting maybe we shouldn't leave out a whole bunch of the uses is drive-throughs, hospitals, things that are complicated, that certainly the plan professional development, those are going to be complicated reviews.
Yes, they are.
That are going to require a substantial amount of his time to take a look at. I don't know that they should be in 100, or maybe we get rid of 100 and we make, if it's not listed there, maybe it's the 600, the mm-hmm. highest one.
The zoning officer didn't get any commission from conditional uses, right? The $900, they don't get any percent from that.
No,
no, no.
That's not how it's been done in the past.
No.
Econopac, Sean got $5,000 out of that.
He should have never got
No, the fee was $10,000. Right. He got $5,000.
Yeah.
And that was a conditional use.
That was
that $10,000 considered part of the payment for a conditional use?
There was a zoning application.
The zoning application was $10,000.
Yeah. The application.
And then the conditional use was on top of that, you're saying?
Correct.
Yes.
Even though it wasn't on the list that there was any separate fee.
Yeah, it was a separate fee of $900 for the conditional use.
Yeah, $900 for around for a long time.
Doesn't it come from the MPC that applicants have to do $900 for conditional uses? Mm-hmm.
No, it's not in the MPC. There's no fee set. The municipality
set
sets the fee.
Yeah.
And the point is we're supposed to cover the cost to the taxpayers.
Right.
We're not mm-hmm. supposed to exceed the cost.
Yeah,
we're supposed to recover the cost.
Stenographer and stuff. Stenographer, engineer, out of that $900.
Well, I mean, honestly, any of these kinds of principal permitted doesn't go to the engineer, right? It just goes to the zoning officer alone.
Right.
That's it.
So there, unless it's conditional.
It goes to the zoning officer and the township because it's 50-50.
No, I mean, the engineer doesn't have to review it.
No.
So there's no engineer's fees.
You know, but there's no engineer's fees till he declares it a conditional use, unless he has questions. If he's got engineering questions, he's going to have to refer to the engineer. But then that's where the professional fees come in. But he's got to tell them up front that they're going to be responsible for the professional fees.
So the requirement that's in the MPC simply requires the board of supervisor to have a set of fees by resolution.
Okay.
For permit applications.
Well, I mean, honestly, a single family house is 300 plus a per square foot, but a hospital or a restaurant would be $100.
That don't make sense at all.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
So here's what 603 in our ordinance says. It says, as authorized by 617.2E and section 908.1 of the MPC, the board shall establish a uniform schedule of fees, charges, and expenses, as well as a collection procedure for zoning permits, conditional use permits, zoning hearing board proceedings, and other matters pertaining to this ordinance. Permit shall not issue until all fees have been paid.
Well, so the non-conforming certificates are on here at 100.
Yeah.
The accessory uses like a pool or a shed are on here at 100. So I think that we should just make it any use not listed, the fee at the 600 if it's not on this list. And you've got the most frequent flyers on the list.
Yeah.
The ones that you thought were lower requirements of his time, you gave
their
own schedules too. So
you can do that. You have the 600.
Any permit fee not listed at 600?
Yep.
Yeah,
that makes more sense.
And then the conditional use hearings are still the 900 per day plus the professional fees. So that we're covering all of the engineer's expenses and the expenses.
Advertisement.
And the advertisement.
It doesn't say that. It says professionals. You probably should also say, and advertising.
Right. Yeah, because that's getting so
awesome. I'm going to take out large on both of those. We'll just leave it wholesale and retail.
Sounds good.
Because small retail is covered under personal services.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Personal services would be the same as retail by definition?
Yeah, it's a personal service, like if there's opening a clothes store, that's a personal service. What do we have? I didn't look to see what we had for definition of it.
You have a separate restaurant definition.
Restaurants and drive-in restaurants have two separate definitions that I recall, but I would think
I can add that to it. I'm not.
I would think the small retailers would probably fall under specialty shops.
Specialty shop, depending on what it is.
Depending on what they're selling.
Yeah, if it's personal services that they're, well, most of the personal
that would
service,
be like, that would be like tattoo artists and a hair salon, right?
Yeah, you're right, specialty shops would cover.
Although at studios, I don't know what we have as a definition of a studio.
Studios would be like an art studio, you know, some
a dance studio.
Dance studio, stuff like that. Okay. We have it in here somewhere because
okay.
We had a problem with a dance studio.
So then that just leaves the issue of planned commercial development units, because that, I don't know that $600 is really going to, is $600 going to cover it? Because $600
plus
conditional
use hearings? Well, it's going to be $600. I'm going to change it to the $600 plus current rate. Pay this way if he has to go beyond that because of the
not listed will be 600. So it might be a very minor permit, then it will be 600.
What?
No, the minor stuff is already on here, right? Like the certificate of use is 50, the accessory uses for pools, sheds, 100. Yeah. Right? Farm stands are on here. The little stuff is on here.
It's all on there.
And applicants might come with new minor things. Then it will be 600.
If it's new, it's not going to be minor, right? Because we got to figure out what it is and deal with it typically.
Like tattoo studio.
That would fall under probably the specialty shops.
Specialty shop.
Yeah.
And the zoning officer would figure that part out. Okay, so we're gonna expect that the planned commercial development units would fall under the any other use not listed.
Right. Is there, well, let me ask this first. Is there a way for them to get around calling it a planned commercial?
Not if they want to use that section.
No, I'm saying is, yeah, but can somebody go in to do something similar but not call it that for some reason?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because then it's not it. They're not entitled to use the statute unless they play it.
Well,
because the problem with setting a fee for that is, I think it works because it's a base fee and then hourly. Because depending on the size of the property and how many buildings they're putting in is going to change the scope of reviewing it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So then the only outstanding issue on that front is planning commission fees. That section has a separate fee for subdivisions, a separate fee for land developments, a separate fee for lot combination improvements. And those are per lot on the subdivisions.
Right.
Should it be something like that on the commercial development, or should there be an extra section of fees for those planned commercial development units for the planning commission fee?
Well, it would, if they're doing land development, it's going to be $200 plus $2 for every 100 square foot of building area. So,
it's going to cover
it's going to cover every building in there.
Okay. So I'm just going to make a note for myself.
And they will need to
land.
Get land development approval.
Yep.
And then that would cover also, you know, the other thing we didn't have on here was mobile homes and mobile home parks, which would then go under
the 600.
Is it fair to charge a mobile home if it was a single mobile home?
Well, you wouldn't charge it. If it's a single mobile home, you'd be charged as a single residential.
Can you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A mobile home's considered a residence.
Okay. Well, the death...
Unless it's in a mobile home park, then it's not considered a residence.
Single-family detached dwelling.
Now, to me, that would be a single-family detached dwelling.
It would be. And we've already got them here.
Right, that's what that would be to me.
You got them right across the street, and well, you used to have two of them across the street. Now you got one that's in the middle of the woods.
Yeah.
Okay.
If somebody comes in with a mobile home park, a good idea to,
They're gonna go under the land development then.
They're gonna have to go under the land development.
Yep.
And then each unit would go under the single-family detached dwelling.
Even like the housekeeping cottages, they gotta go under land development. They're gonna be going, all going through that.
The first time around.
Huh?
The first time around, they would, right?
No, even if they gotta come back for a conditional use if they wanna change it at all.
Okay.
Let's say we approved them for 10, housekeeping cottages, and then they came back in, so we wanna add 5 more. They gotta come back in for a full conditional use, because we gotta make sure septic and everything else matches, stormwater runoff.
Then we just wanna add that and advertising, under the hearings and escrows, that we're also charging them for the professional fees and the advertising.
Okay, that's, I just added under additional fees. And advertising.
Yeah, because advertising fees got pretty expensive.
Yeah.
We do have township fees, advertising done by the township, $25 plus the cost of advertising. I'm sorry, I didn't see it there.
Okay.
Because it was in a different place. I think it, that might...
I'm gonna add that there anyway, because it's just good to have there.
Sounds good. Okay.
Yeah, township fees.
Yeah, missed that. Okay, I'll make those changes and bring it back in.
Very good.
Right, data center ordinance.
What'd you say?
Data center.
Data center ordinance.
Wayne has a question.
Small businesses, what fee does that fall under then?
It depends on what kind of small business.
Yeah.
And how you define a small business.
Right.
SBA says if it's less than 500 employees, it's a small business.
So they're going to be around 400.
A lot of them.
You got your personal service, your professional offices, specialty shops, studios. The studios are cheaper of them.
Would you like a copy, Wayne, of the draft?
I have this one.
Thank you.
Quite honestly, why does this have to be so complicated? Why can't this be a simple fee, and then over a certain threshold be the discretion of the zoning officer?
Well, that's in there. He's got a base fee, and then anything, like if it goes over 2,500 square foot, it's, I think, 25 cents a square foot additional, and that's it.
One of the reasons that it's a little bit complicated is because we can't charge more than it costs us to do. So we're trying to bring the fees down from where they are now, which is based on the square
footage and
the cost of the development.
Mm-hmm. Well, but from a, I understand the principle, but from a user's point of view, somebody that's dealt with many townships, when I go to the township and I start to go through this, every township is different and you have to try to interpret it and you have to try to figure it out. And you ultimately wind up calling the zoning officer and the building inspector to find out that you're paying the right fee.
Right.
Why can't it be simpler than it is? I mean, and this isn't just Melbourne Township, this is every
It's everything around. Hey, you got municipalities don't have any fees listed, and it depends on what you're building.
I encountered that, you know, Dakota was trying to compare.
And, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I don't think you can even do that.
He was trying to compare Westfall, Shohola, and Digman with the information available on their websites to this proposal, And Ding doesn't have anything on their website. You can't figure out what their fees are off their website.
Or the borough. Go into township building.
Borough's the same way with their building and zoning fees. I called them. I said, you don't have any building and zoning fees on here, do you? You know, how much does it cost to put up a house? Oh, it depends on what you're building. Yeah, okay.
And then there's the word that you can't charge more than it costs you to do, which is not, it's just quite honestly laughable.
How's that determined?
Back when I'm from the user's point of view, the only reason that I'm getting a permit is so that you can come and tax me. Well, that's
true.
It's true.
It's true.
That's the only purpose that I'm, the only purpose I'm coming and getting a permit from you is so that you can tax me.
Mm-hmm. Which you don't really want to do.
But I will tell you, I will tell you this. I did sit down with Johanna and I went over all the stuff for AutoZone, and we actually had everything covered. And that's pretty much where we sat. Everything was covered.
All right.
Which I was surprised.
I have seen, through my work, I have seen some other townships escrow billing to some applicants, and it was pretty astounding, the amount of money. And ours, by comparison, was laughably low. I think Milford Township has always tried to be respectful of the idea of taking money out of people's pockets if it's not necessary. And I think that we're continuing to do that. At the same time, we don't want to have money come out of residents' pockets to subsidize the cost of the new development that someone else is doing, because we're not covering the cost. So we have to keep an eye out for both, to be fair. Any other?
Wait a second.
No.
Anything else under?
Back to data centers?
Back to data centers.
Back to data centers.
Okay, so the last thing we were starting to talk about is how are we going to enforce 427.17F, and if they don't pay their taxes, do we think a letter of credit is going to be usable? And when a sheriff's sale ends up with a new entity owning the place, are we going to be able to actually enforce?
I think performance bond is what you want.
Also, under that section...
I don't like letters of credit for two reasons. One, you got to keep track of it because it's only good for a year.
And every time they expire, forget it.
And then, of course, the bank is going to say...
The banks change hands all the time.
It stays in effect until it's renewed. But that's not what...
That doesn't help you when they don't renew it.
The money's all gone. Right. Account.
When they don't renew it.
So,
exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm a firm believer in bonds or escrow accounts.
Yep. Yeah, prepare them.
Doesn't the tax collector take care of it? Like when they don't pay taxes, don't they send it to collection and stuff?
Right, but the point here is the way this language is written, if the property owner has to take the thing down, if it's vacant for more than 12 months, if it goes to tax sale, now you have a new owner, you're going to then take it down? You're going to have the new owner take it down? How are we going to enforce that? We're not going to be able to enforce
buyer
that.
Buyer beware at the tax sale.
They wipe out all the old obligations typically. Yeah. So, we're going to go what? We're going to go try to collect on a bond. We'd have to try to know when it was vacant and try to attack having it taken down. It's going to be very difficult to enforce.
That surety's on the hook.
Part 8, the penalties are absolutely laughable.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way that those amounts are going to be a deterrent to bad behavior.
And you should tell your state legislator that.
Because that's what the MPC, those numbers are from the MPC as the maximum?
That's. You should tell your state legislature to amend the second class township code to raise the penalty figure beyond $1,000 per day.
Well, I saw something that they passed a budget today. Did anybody see any details? Did they pass a budget?
Not that I'm aware of. Of course, I
haven't. As I heard on my way out, there were still releases going out there. Yeah.
Okay, so what I saw was like from the Small Business Advocates, yeah. So maybe it wasn't the budget. I had heard that there might be a moratorium in the deal.
There is
in
a the moratorium deal. That's
3-year
sitting.
Moratorium.
There's a moratorium that has not been. The bill, which I actually brought with me, hasn't been in front of the Senate yet. So maybe they.
Rosemary proposed an amendment to put a 3-year moratorium in, but it did not pass.
It's a 1-year at committee. Moratorium. 6-month, rather.
It's still going over.
6-month isn't gonna.
They the other night they were talking about the 3-year again.
Well, the 6-month moratorium is the one that is in the House bill, which actually passed the House, and is now awaiting for its third reading in front of the Senate.
So I didn't see glare or smoke covered under the data center sections. And they're, because of the way that it's written, I don't think they're subject to 407. Could you chime in about that, Nancy, the glare or the smoke?
Why wouldn't they be subject to 407?
They're all uses are subject to 407. All non-residential uses are subject to 407.
Isn't everything covered under whole zoning ordinance?
Yeah.
When I read the beginning of the overlay, the language at the beginning, which I'm not going to be able to put in front of me the exact language now.
Hang on a second. I know what you mean. Hang on. I just want to make sure. Okay, so we do have in part 6, Nancy, 427.2 or 0.1.
Right.
We do have a section saying that where there's a conflict between the standards of 427 and any other section of the zoning ordinance, the more restrictive standard shall apply.
Right.
I don't, however, see.
The 407 would still apply.
As a non-residential use.
Yeah. And if the data center ordinance has more restrictive standards than 407, then the data center standards would apply, and
otherwise,
vice versa.
407, right.
Right. Or yeah. For any other part of the ordinance, for that matter. Yeah, the more restrictive will apply.
Fines,
407 still applies.
Civil fines, Rachel, are unfortunately not less than 300 and more than 1,000 per day.
Yep.
And they just amended it. It used to be 100 and 300.
Yeah, it's 100 and 300.
So there's nothing in here about community benefit agreements, which the Center for Rural Pennsylvania just did an all-day program on data centers, and a lot of it was focused on community benefit agreements. But we don't require a community benefit agreement or reference a community benefit agreement or suggest the content that should be in one. We don't give any definition to under what circumstances we would go to the 65% lot coverage, under what conditions, to say that, you know, there'd have to be local jobs, or to say that there'd have to be equipment for the fire department, which we're saying is optional, or upgrades that they would, I don't even see that the language in here that they would have to pay for the cost of the off-site electrical improvements that might be necessary to feed their facility. And those things are all discussed at the Center for Rural Pennsylvania's program, so I'm just wondering